RadioArchives.com presents The Lone Ranger Magazine from November 1937. Read for you by Milton Bagby. The Lone Ranger Magazine is one of the many audiobooks available from RadioArchives.com. Death's Head Vengeance, a complete Lone Ranger novel with Silver the Wonder Horse and Tonto, Faithful Indian Friend. Chapter 1. Sinister Shadows. Closely massed, dense black clouds made a prim background for the skull as it reflected the glow of the setting sun. Nature, in one of her moods, had thrown up a peculiar rock formation in some dim, distant past, and the result was a jutting promontory that bore a striking resemblance to a human death's head. Wind and rain had polished the top of the skull to a round smoothness, and dark layers in the stratified rock seemed to make black holes where the eyes would be in a human skull, and a cavernous, leering mouth. Poised over the entrance to the death's head mine, the skull seemed to give a constant sphinx-like challenge to all who dared enter in search of the gold that was known to be there. Hardened men gave the death's head a wide berth when it was essential that they pass it. Folks in the nearby town of Nugget shuddered when they saw the skull in the peculiar light of sundown. It was not the evil grimace of the rock alone that caused such a dread of the mine, nor was it superstition. Bob Grant, the sheriff of the county, had made no less than 5 trips into the mine in his many years to carry out the crushed and battered bodies of men who laughed at fate to get the gold beneath the skull. 5 men had died, and their death had made 500 wary, but not Hank Stevens. The freckle-faced, red-headed Hank was whistling when he came from inside the mine. His cheery air seemed strangely out of place in the eerie setting, but he seemed oblivious of gloom and superstition. Hank was thinking of the price he'd paid for the mine as it stood, and the great profits that even the most casual survey guaranteed. Hank knew mines and mining, and on this knowledge staked his small capital when he teamed up with Vince Coulter 2 months back to buy the unworked claim. When he heard the yarns about the death's head, Hank had only grinned and dug. Coulter hid his own fear of the place, but was careful to arrange things so that naive Hank was the one who did most of the work inside the place. Good-natured, easy-going, and trusting, Hank never suspected that the man he looked on as a friend and partner was shirking his share of the work and danger. Vince Coulter was a few hundred yards from the mine's yawning mouth, busy with the preparation of supper. Hank breathed deeply of the mountain air and leaned his pick against the rocky side of the mine. "Every day," he muttered, "the doggone thing looks richer. I'm darn glad we didn't let a pack of fool rumors and superstitions chase us away from here." He saw Vince wave to him and signaled in response. "Everyone has a right to his own ideas," he said half aloud. "And I got mine about that claim, and Vince." He was thinking of a comment Sheriff Grant had made about his partner, a remark that might have raised a doubt about Coulter's honesty in the mind of a man less trusting than Hank Stevens.
"Too handsome," the sheriff had said. "Whenever I see a critter with slick black hair and close-set eyes and a shifty way of acting, I don't trust him."
But Hank Stevens did. Hank, in fact, trusted almost everyone and liked everyone. He glanced overhead at the huge rocky mass and waved a cheery hand.
"See you in the morning, you grinning old skull," he saluted.
Then he stepped out toward his partner. He had a somewhat unpleasant task before him, but he faced it squarely.
"I hate like thunder to speak about it, Vince," he started when he reached the side of Coulter. "But I got to do it for my own peace of mind."
"Do what?"
snapped Coulter.